We started this series with the intention on covering as many traits as possible to revive our hearts, our families, and the ummah. And alhamdulillah that we covered the topic of ikhlas, week one. The second week, we covered the topic of iman. What is belief in the heart and in one's actions? The third thing that we covered is salah, the first act of worship, and the confirmation of your iman. The fourth thing we covered is tawakkul, to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, last week we covered which topic? Who can remind us? Hope and fear, jazakumullah khairan, hope and fear. And we mentioned there are a lot of things related to hope and fear, one of which we will cover today inshallah ta'ala, and it is the topic of taqwa. But before we begin officially, I just want to emphasize again and again, you know, with all that is happening in Gaza, in Palestine and around the world, that we are required as much as we can within our individual capacities to channel our pain or any grief that we experience to something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be a dua in that moment. It could be you making sure your character is good with the people around you. It could be that you are fulfilling the obligations of Allah. It could be that you are repenting, tawbah, from a sin. It could be that you're raising awareness around the world. It could be that you're taking action in a strategic, wise manner. But at the end of the day, we are also different in our personalities and what we can handle. So if you are consuming something that is causing you to feel like you can't do anything anymore, that you've lost all hope and motivation, then there's a different ruling for the one who is in that state than the one who's able to consume and continue moving forward. You are to consume less than perhaps of some of the images and videos, but channel the productivity, the energy to doing something for our brothers and sisters and also fulfilling your responsibilities. Because to go about living your life with your school, your work, raising your children, this is an act of worship that is part of taking care of the ummah long term. We cannot give up our responsibilities either while we are feeling that pain. We channel it to something productive, channel it to something beneficial. And the reason I say this is because, and it is very, very, very difficult, especially for those who are watching and following every single thing throughout the day and night, yani these pictures and videos really can affect us in a manner that for some people, they're not moving forward anymore. They're not doing anything anymore. And that's not productive. That's not what we want. So if you're in that state, find yourself taking in the updates that will help you, inshallah ta'ala, to continue benefiting our brothers and sisters who are physically going through what they are going through and not just emotionally and mentally. We are living, alhamdulillah, with many blessings and freedoms and privileges here. So whatever you see, channel it into something that is of gratitude, that is beneficial for them, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the fears of our brothers and sisters in Gaza and bring down His aid and support and allow us to continue moving forward with optimism, with perseverance, with jihadun nafs, with striving as much as possible to liberate them from what they are going through. Allahumma ameen. Let's begin with the topic of tonight. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Who said these words? Usikum bi taqwallah. Who said these words? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usikum bi taqwallah. These are found in a number of narrations, authentic ahadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would advise the companions to have taqwa of Allah. And you will notice, we will define this word, the word taqwa, the topic of tonight, inshallah ta'ala. But after we define it with the English meanings and translations, we will stick to using the actual term. And the reason being, oftentimes there are certain terms in Arabic, especially if they're very common in the Quran or the Sunnah, you will find that there's no equivalent for in English. And so to use the English sometimes, we'll miss some part of the meaning. So we will try, inshallah ta'ala, to define what we are talking about. Usikum, I advise you, bi taqwallah, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the famous companion, Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said to him, O Mu'ad, ittaqillah haythu ma kunt. This is a famous hadith. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. And if we were to take this part of the hadith, there are two other parts, two other lessons, but just this first part, and we were to implement it, our lives would change significantly. To have taqwa wherever you are, whether you're home alone or with people in public, whether you're around Muslims or non-Muslims, whether you're with friends or strangers, wherever you are, ittaqillah haythu ma kunt. It is one of the most concise but powerful pieces of advice we can receive and implement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of the righteous, they would begin their letters of advice to each other. They would begin out of love for one another. أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. I advise you to have taqwa of Allah. One of them said, you will find this in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. He said, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah, for it is the most honorable thing that you can conceal, and the most virtuous thing that you can present, and it is your prime investment. May Allah help you and us to have taqwa, and may He reward us for it immensely. Allahumma ameen. Taqwa sometimes is translated, unfortunately, it's translated as fear. Some of us have seen the translations, especially maybe 20, 30 years ago, the Quran translations that were common. When you would read ittaqillah or ittaqullah haqqa tuqati, it would say what? Fear Allah. So the word that was in English, the translation that was used, is fear, but fear we spoke about last week. And fear has a very different meaning. There is a component, an element, a type of fear that we will talk about that is part of taqwa. But that's not the precise translation. And the word for fear in Arabic is what? Khawf. We spoke about this last week. There's also a similar word, khashya. These are different words, but it's not taqwa. Taqwa has more than that, it's more extensive. And it comes from the root that also has the meaning. So you have waw, qaf, and ya, but it has the meaning of wiqaya, protection. And we talk about protection, you have the example from the Quran itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ, which means their Lord protected them from the punishment of the fire. Another example, فَوَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. This is an example from Surah Al-Insan. So taqwa is to have a protection, a shield, a barrier between you and something. What is that thing and why? Taqwa is for you to have a shield between yourself and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we have a type of fear and a type of trait that prevents all of us from ever committing a single crime. And that there are many reasons for that, but that deterrence protected us from something harmful, and we wanted to stay away from the harmful because of some consequence. There's some reason. You value that law, that rule, or you want to stay away from the harm. So taqwa is to stay away from the punishment of Allah, from Allah being angry with you, upset with you. Taqwa is for you to fulfill the commands of Allah, to fulfill all of the commands and to stay away from all of the prohibitions, to stay away from the doubtful things, to try to do as many of the sunnah and the recommended things, and to stay away from the things that are considered makruh or disliked by Allah. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah summarizes, and he says, the essence, this word we hear about all the time, the essence of taqwa is to make a shield which guards you against the anger of Allah and the punishment of Allah. And this shield, what does it look like? He said, it is to obey His commands and stay away from the prohibitions. This is the summary of that shield. But then he said, perfect taqwa requires that one tries to do all of the voluntary things, the recommended things, to refrain from all of the prohibited and disliked things. He says this is the ultimate form of taqwa, meaning there is taqwa, but there's a higher level of taqwa, second degree if you will. And that is for you to go beyond just the obligatory, beyond just saying, I'm just going to do the five prayers. To try to have more of a shield. More of a shield, why? Because there's something you value. And of course, at the end of the day, the thing that gives us value is not our race, our skin color, our languages, our passports, our nationalities, or anything else. At the end of the day, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable of you in the sight of Allah are those who have the most taqwa. And that's not something you can wear on your sleeve. That's not something that is tied to a degree or a job or the city that you live in or how much money you have or what kind of car you drive. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So the wise believer is chasing after that. The wise believer is looking for what does Allah want, what is pleasing to Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says in his book Al-Fawaid that taqwa is of three levels. By the way, when we say some scholars say two levels, three levels, four, these are categorizations that the scholars have given to better explain something, like the three levels of fasting you hear about in Ramadan. So he says taqwa has three levels. Number one is to protect the heart and your limbs from committing sins and forbidden actions. That's the simplest way to understand taqwa. The second level is for you to protect your heart and your limbs from undesirable things, the makruh. And the third is to protect yourself against curiosity and that which does not concern you, meaning does not benefit your akhirah. And he utilizes for this one the evidence from the famous hadith, one of the most famous narrations, min husni islam al-mar' tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the good characteristics of the believer is that he leaves that which does not concern him. Sometimes people apply this, some scholars, literally, which means mind your own business, don't get involved, don't ask about people's private details. You're not supposed to do that. But also the things that don't concern your akhirah, they don't benefit your afterlife. Stay away from those things. That's the third level he's saying. In other words, that's the hardest thing to do, but that is the most complete type of taqwa, to stay away from as much as possible. I noticed as I was doing the research for this and preparing it, a really interesting observation from the Quran. We noticed, for example, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is in the Quran 89 times. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, loosely translated as O believers. And we've stated before, when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, as some of the companions would say, pay attention, for Allah will tell you about something that is important to implement, or something prohibited or harmful to stay away from. So anytime you're reading the Quran, if you start noticing in yourself, you're reading a juz or two or three and you're slacking off, and suddenly you read or hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, pay closer attention. Pay closer attention. And I'll give an example. If you're listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you have just 2 minutes to receive advice from him, you're like, give me the best advice you can in 2 minutes. You're going to pay very, very, very close attention. He's emphasizing an advice for you. And if you were listening to him for 1,000 hours, at times you may need a reminder, pay attention, pay extra attention. You may even need your name to be used. Ahmad, Khalid, Ibrahim, pay attention. So you start listening attentively to the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, 89 times in the Quran. It doesn't mean we don't pay attention the rest of the Quran, but we pay closer attention. Because now we are being addressed very, very exclusively. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So what's the interesting observation? What am I talking about? On numerous occasions, I found in these 89 occurrences, there's a link between Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu and taqwa. What are some examples? We'll go through quickly. And as we go through these are some examples. Think to yourself if you are implementing what Allah is calling you towards. The first, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. Wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah as He deserves. He has a right upon you. So have that level of taqwa based on what is right. And do not die except in a state of submission to Allah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah and say what is correct. Yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. He will bless your deeds for you and forgive your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger has truly achieved a great success. Are we implementing this? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O believers, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, fear is used in one of the translations because of a major sin that follows. Be mindful of Allah. Have taqwa of Allah. And abandon dealing with interest if you are true believers. Riba. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. O believers, pay attention again. What does Allah say? Be mindful of Allah, have taqwa of Allah, and seek the things that will bring you closer to Him. What are we seeking? And struggle in His way. وجاهدوا في سبيله has multiple connotations. Of course, we understand the difference between the physical jihad that is applicable in some context and the jihad that is always applicable, which is jihadun nafs, striving against your desires, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may truly succeed. Are we implementing this? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Surah At-Tawbah, O believers, have taqwa of Allah and be with the truthful. Always speak the truth and be amongst the truthful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sincere and honest in all times and places. Are we implementing this? Another example, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. O believers, have taqwa of Allah, believe in the Messenger, and Allah will grant you a double share of His mercy, a greater reward, meaning than the previous umam, and He will magnify your good deeds. He will provide you with a light to walk with. This is the light of guidance in this world, and the light that is literal on the Day of Judgment when you're crossing over the hellfire. And He will forgive you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Are we implementing this? Another example, one of the most famous, and I will wrap up with these two. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. You will notice something different about this ayah. Can anyone tell us what it is? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. What's different about this one? Twice. Exactly, jazakumullah khairan. Twice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ittaqullah. This verse in Surah Al-Hashr, And generally in Friday khutbahs, here and there you might hear it. I prefer to utilize this one in almost every Jum'ah prayer. It is the only verse amongst these that has a command. Ittaqullah twice in that context, in that wording. And it's also a very short ayah. So it's not like there was like a long page where taqwa came up more than once. And you look in between the two commands of taqwa and you have just one thing. Ittaqullah. وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. This is in between the two commands of taqwa. Let every soul reflect. وَلْتَنْظُرْ. Look means reflect, think. Hold yourself accountable and think honestly about what you have sent ahead for tomorrow. If you have something important tomorrow, Thursday, if you have something important tomorrow, you perhaps can think for yourself, okay, in a few minutes, these are the things that I've prepared for tomorrow. That's what's waiting for me. And these are the things that are not prepared. If you have an exam tomorrow, you know what you've prepared and what you haven't. If you have a job interview, you know what you've prepared and what you haven't. If you have an event you are organizing or a wedding, you know what you've prepared and what you haven't. Think about what you sent ahead for your akhirah. It's really hard to think because you have to think through the years of doing maybe many, many, many acts of worship or also falling into many sins and forgetting. May Allah forgive us for the things we've forgotten and the things we remember. So what's interesting about this, many scholars say, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say ittaqullah twice? And in between, he tells you, prepare for your afterlife. Out of his mercy, he says, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. He doesn't say for the akhirah, he says for tomorrow. So that he brings the day of judgment psychologically closer to you, your akhirah closer to you by using the word ghad, tomorrow. So that you believe, realistically, your afterlife is as close as tomorrow. Meaning you can leave this world at any moment because your akhirah begins when you depart. And as for why the command is there twice, there are many reasons. One of the scholars said, it's lit-ta'keed, it's for emphasis because you need it in this case. Prepare for the akhirah. Be mindful of Allah. Prepare for the akhirah. Be mindful of Allah. An emphasis. But another reason the scholars say, an interesting interpretation, the first time Allah tells you taqullah in this ayah, you are to repent for your past sins. And then if you follow through the ayah, the command, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, you start thinking about your akhirah. You know what am I doing with my life? What about these major sins? What about the ibadat I'm abandoning? What about my character? When you start thinking about what you've prepared for your meeting with Allah, the second time Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, one of the scholars, he says, I think this was based off of Qatada rahimahullah, the second generation mufassir. He says, this will protect you. Now it's a wiqaya against future sins. You've repented. The first time you heard a taqullah, you have asked Allah for forgiveness. You start thinking about the akhirah. And as a result, when Allah says, wattaqullah, you have a barrier, a shield, a taqwa that will protect you from falling into sin again. Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'amaloon. Allah is aware of everything you do. And then finally, this one starts a little different. This one I did not select from Ya Ayyuha Alladhina Amanu, I selected a different one. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. This one has a different type of introduction. Say, O Prophet, to the people, that Allah says, there's something through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, command and remind the people of such and such, say this. يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Have taqwa of Allah. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. For those who do good in this world, they will have a good reward. And hasana means you'll be given a lot more than what you earn. وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا. Allah's earth is spacious. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Those who endure patiently, they persevere, will be given the reward without limit. We apply this to anyone who has taqwa. We apply this to all the believers, generally speaking. That we hope and we pray. Those who hold on to their iman, and they have sabr. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And they are killed for that in Gaza or anywhere around the world now or in the future, that they are given a reward without any limits. They will be given things beyond our imagination from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa sometimes is translated as God consciousness, mindfulness of Allah, type of awe and fear mixed in one, awareness, a shield against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure. One time, many times people come up and they ask, or they send emails and they ask, you know, I feel like living in such and such country is haram for me or my family or Muslims. Are we supposed to move? This is a very common question in America, especially every time something new happens in terms of immorality, in terms of fahisha that is spreading. So in recent years, this has been asked perhaps more than previous years. Is it permissible for Muslims to live in this environment, that environment, this land or that land? Where should we live? And the ruling, in short, varies from family to family. But alhamdulillah for the many Muslims doing amazing work, da'wah work, in their character, with their families, raising their children, being part of this society and trying to change a lot of the policies and reform society for the better, alhamdulillah. But somebody asked one of the great scholars of the past, Al-Fudayl rahimahullah, which country do you advise me to live in? Where do you advise me to go or live in? He said, there's no connection between you and any country. The best country for you is the one that helps you to acquire taqwa. You can be living in a land surrounded by Muslims, as many Muslims are, and they have no taqwa, meaning some of the children have no taqwa whatsoever. You can be living in a country like this, and alhamdulillah, you've not just implemented taqwa, but you're reviving taqwa in many parts of the world. You are contributing in some way, or you are facilitating taqwa through structures or systems or charity or schools or masajid and so on and so forth. The place in which you can have taqwa is the best place for you. Taqwa is to be so mindful of Allah, to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, His majesty, His perfection, that your heart becomes soft and you start worrying about displeasing Him. Ya Allah, I don't want to break your laws. Ya Allah, I don't want to displease you after everything you have given me. I don't want to do the thing that you've commanded me to stay away from. This is what taqwa does for us. So it is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. It is a fortress against sinfulness without remorse. Taqwa is what protects you, what gives you a shield. If a bad thought ever crosses your mind or a bad environment, that protects you from that. And you find yourself looking for something more pure, a purer thought, a purer environment. Taqwa is the thing that makes you cautious in everyday life, so you're not playing around with fire. You're not messing around with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not reckless. Now I'll give some examples of recklessness and cautiousness. A common example, sometimes when people buy very expensive vehicles, anytime they'll park in a parking lot, they'll park far away from other cars. And why do they? We've all seen this, or maybe some of us have done this. Why do they do this? They're so annoyed by the number of times they've parked next to somebody who does not care, and they just open their door right into their car and they scratch that expensive paint off the car. So what do? They park far away. They say, you know what, I'd rather walk a little extra rather than somebody damaging this expensive car. Why are they being very cautious here? They're being cautious because they've valued their vehicle. They've placed a value and they don't want anything to harm it, so they've taken some action. Some people with work, mashallah, every job is different, but some people with their jobs, they are the most punctual of people. They will show up on time, which means early, a few minutes, not literally on time. They will show up on time. They will preserve their career reputations. They will treat other people with dignity. They will never violate the policies of their company. They'll respect other people. And they also want to pass their annual reviews. They don't want to be laid off the next time there's a layoff. And maybe they're even looking to get promoted in the future. So they don't mess around with their careers. They don't violate the laws of the company. They don't cause problems and drama between people. Why? Because they have a shield. They're placing a shield between them and the thing that they value, so they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be harmed. Some parents, for example, and here's a common example, a lot of mothers are amazing at protecting their children from very harmful things. And so they will study things, look into things, assess the studies, their research about the best way to raise this child, the newest studies, the latest things. They'll do all these things, and sometimes some people even document these things so other parents will benefit. This is a very common thing now. And they do this especially in an era in which there is more harm, there are more problems, there are more risks. Why? Because that shield that they've placed, the shield of care and love and fear, protects something they value, their own child. And of course, this applies to mothers and to fathers. Sometimes people buy expensive things and they value them, so they protect them. So taqwa is to avoid being reckless with Allah. Taqwa is to figure out for yourself, what is your shield? So when you have, for example, a device, a phone, what types of taqwa do you have with this device? What rules and practices have you implemented or do you implement as a habit? When you have a computer at home or for your children, a laptop or a TV or access to the internet, what types of principles and shields would you want there to be between your child and something harmful? When you're thinking about your purpose in life, your environment, the things you watch, the things you consume, the videos, the audio, the things that you choose to listen to, what are the principles of taqwa that you have put between you and haram? These are the questions we all have to ask ourselves frequently, because at the end of the day, we need to be vigilant. We need to be cautious. We complain at times there's so much haram in the world, but we don't know or we don't take measures to stop ourselves from even thinking about the haram or falling accidentally into it. I've given an example before. I know some people don't like this example, and I apologize for being very direct. But if we're not direct here, where are we going to be direct? An example is, with some types of platforms, social media platforms, you can control 100% of the things that you see. So with some websites, you use ad block, you can't see advertisements. With some websites, you choose the pages you follow. So you know it's all news, or it's, let's say, Islamic pages or education, something about society. So you know what you're going to see. Your eyes will fall upon the things that you've subscribed to. It's like choosing maybe, let's say, the emails that you're getting, newsletters, whatever it is that you're doing. But then the reality is there are some types of apps in which you cannot guarantee 100% the things that your eyes will fall upon. And at times you will find, and if you had to count and measure, maybe 1 out of 10, for some people, literally 1 out of every 2 videos or 3 videos, they will hear something or see something that they know they should not be watching or seeing. And yes, you can say, okay, but scroll away from it. That's all that you have to do. Oh, scroll away, move on. It's not a big deal. But if you do this 100 times a day, and many studies are finding people are watching, people are on social media 3-4 hours a day now. If you're doing this for a long time and your eyes are constantly falling upon haram, 5% of the time, you're putting yourself in a position where you're constantly seeing this thing rather than protecting yourself. Is there a way to take a measure even in that case? I know this sounds like a very extreme example. It does sound extreme to many people because we become desensitized. May Allah protect us. But if we don't talk about the things we're desensitized with, the things that become normalized, where are we going to talk about them? How are we going to address them? And we are not doing so in a manner that is also unreasonable. So if there is a way to change the conditions of what your eyes will fall upon, and it will only be things that are pleasing to Allah, alhamdulillah. Taqwa is to aim for the highest, the greatest shield possible. That if you were to die in the moment you were watching that video, you would not be afraid that your eyes fell upon something prohibited by your choice, or listening to something you should not listen to. Of course, in addition to this, many scholars have noted in Islamic psychology, many times people are introduced to something haram in those moments, and then the curiosity kicks in. So the highest level of taqwa is to protect yourself from those moments as much as you possibly can, in a reasonable manner, find something that is, alhamdulillah, more beneficial and more effective, and there are many platforms like that. Why do you have taqwa at the end of the day? Why is there a shield? What is it that you value? Like the man who valued his car, the parent who, the mother who valued her child. Why at the end of the day are you doing all of this? Are you taking these measures? Are you being consistent? It's because you value the right of Allah. Taqullaha haqqa tuqati. It's because you want to please Allah. It's because you're thinking of your meeting with Allah. You want to be the best human being possible. And that requires shields. That requires some barriers. And this is the place that you want to end up in a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. But then there's the question that many people ask, where does fear come in? Why on earth, when we hear about taqwa, sometimes do we hear it's about like a type of khashya or khawf? And there is a healthy part, a healthy type of fear that is an element of taqwa. As we mentioned last week, and I'll summarize the example of this. It's the type of fear of being misguided. It's the type of fear of breaking the laws of Allah. It's the type of fear in which somebody says, you know what if I fall into this sin and I don't repent? I get prevented from tawbah, or I end up committing it again. It becomes a aada, not amal, but aada, continuous habit. Or the fear that I might die in that state. Some people have died committing sins. May Allah protect us all. And many people die doing good things. The fear of obviously shortcomings, the fear of future regret. So there's a type of healthy fear that someone has. That's one element of taqwa. But at the end of the day, that fear is one element, and it is a healthy type. It is the type that allows you to keep moving forward. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. It's balanced with knowing that Allah forgives all sins so long as you're seeking that forgiveness. We need an equilibrium in our lives. I gave the example last week, and some people asked me about it. They found it to be very shocking, the example of the student that was drinking alcohol, and I found out later that she was a Muslim student. And alhamdulillah, years later or months later, I think, repented from what she had done. But her thought that, you know what, Allah is merciful. Allah will forgive me. It's not a big deal if I drink. This was her mindset at that time. So this is an example of ignoring the obvious, that this is an extreme misunderstanding of what Allah's mercy is about. And it's missing what's the element of a healthy type of fear. Taqwa is to balance between the two. I will summarize by saying this. There are many blessings to taqwa, many fruits. And if we were to summarize every single one, if we were to talk about every single one, we'd be here for another couple of hours. But to list all 10, just to give an example, kind of like a survey, 10 blessings of taqwa that are all found in the Quran. Number one is guidance. If you have taqwa, وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَامُ. If you have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in guidance. Number two, Allah will make things easier for you, the ease of matters. Number three, you will earn the love of Allah. Allah loves المتقين. Number four is Allah will give you a way out. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسَبُ. He will also, number five, provide you with sustenance in a way you did not expect. Number six is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your actions. What is the proof of this from the Quran? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah accepts from those who have taqwa. And this is a very liberating ayah as well. Number seven, salvation from the fire. Number eight, Allah will give you the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Number nine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success. And number 10, Allah will grant you tranquility of the heart. A type of paradise and peace in the heart that no one can take away from you. Many people ask, okay, after hearing all of this and the benefits and the things we should do, what is the practical advice? How do I move forward from here? So what can we do? Number one, hold ourselves accountable. Think frequently. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ This is why I prefer to utilize this ayah in almost, I think, every single Friday khutbah. Let every soul reflect, because we are in need of reflecting, especially today when every type of app and phone and device and responsibilities are distracting us and calling to our attention. Seems like many people don't have the time to just sit and reflect with some peace, to sit after salah for a few minutes. Seems like everything is back to back, everything is rushed, you're never caught up, there's always more to do. And for those who are young perhaps and feel like you have a lot of free time, and sometimes you tell your parents, I'm bored. Well, you're going to regret saying I'm bored one day. There's no boredom in the dictionary of the believer. Why? There's always something beneficial to do. And in fact, boredom, if you explore it as a Muslim, is if you explore it as an opportunity to learn something new, you will find yourself unlocking more of your potential. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ This is why Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا Hold yourselves accountable before you're held accountable. Hold yourself accountable in this life. As Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah said, if you do so in this life, it will be easy in the afterlife. When you are actually held accountable by Allah, it will be easy. But if you don't hold yourself accountable in this world, meaning you just live life recklessly, you commit sins and you don't think twice, at the end of the day, you don't care what happened that day. The next day, you're just doing the same things over and over, committing sins, ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you leave this world in that state. He says your accountability will be very heavy and difficult in the next life. So be a person who holds themselves accountable. An example from business school and coaching, they all say is, what gets measured gets managed. If you measure things often, like a project, if you're always in project management, if you're always measuring where you are, you're likely to make some progress, inshallah ta'ala. You're likely to look at the areas in which there are shortcomings. If you're managing a group of people at work in your company, for example, if you're not following up as a manager, you'll notice after some weeks and months go by, some people will notice. Not every employee is going to be top-notch productive if there's no like follow-up from their managers. So you have to follow up, you have to make sure where are things at this week, what system are you using to follow up. The more you measure things, the more progress you will make. So as believers, we apply this to our taqwa as well. Hold yourself accountable. This is the greatest thing to measure, in fact. The second practical advice. So every day, hold yourself accountable. Reflect, reflect, reflect. And if you don't have time, make time to reflect. After every salah, take some time. Before you go to sleep, reflect. Whenever you can, inshallah ta'ala. The second advice that is very practical as we wrap up here is self-discipline, obedience to Allah. Sometimes people say, I want to enjoy my act of worship and that's when I will be consistent. Like somebody has said, many people have stated, you know what, I don't feel anything in salah, so why should I pray? And this is working our way backwards. This is saying, well, I don't feel anything in salah, so let me give up salah. You're already praying, which is an act of worship. Now look for what? Improving the quality of salah. How do I enjoy it more? The sweetness of salah. So look for the resources that will help you to enjoy it. But at the end of the day, self-discipline. There are all two types of pain. You either choose pain now or in the future. The pain of self-discipline now, which is short-term and eventually changes to a sweetness of ibadah. Or the pain that is long-term of regret. The pain that is long-term of regretting. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي May Allah protect us from that type of pain and allow us to choose the pleasure of servitude to Allah now and the pleasure that is long-term as well. The third advice, as many scholars stated, this is actually based on the practice of the Sahaba. If you find yourself falling short with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right, you committed a sin or you fell short with your standards, then some of the Sahaba would punish their nafs. So what would they do? An example of this, Umar radiallahu an, one time look at what happened. Umar radiallahu an missed Salatul Asr in Jama'ah. That was his, for him, that was his shortcoming. Missed Salatul Asr in Jama'ah. So what did he do? He donated in charity a very valuable piece of land. In fact, his son took this from him, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhumah. And what he did once, he missed a prayer in Jama'ah. And one of his friends reported about him, Abdullah bin Umar, that he started to pray Qiyamul Layl the entire night. That night, he prayed the entire night to punish his nafs from ever like slipping up, from ever feeling like, you know what, I missed something and it's not important. No, it is important. So what does this mean? This is an example. You don't have to do the same thing. We have certain standards. Obviously, we're far from this example. that I miss Salat al-Asr in Jama'ah, so I'm going to give all my wealth in charity. We're not thinking about that. Some people are barely praying their five prayers on time. So the punishment of the nafs, the scholars say, is to remind the nafs that you are in control, number one, not your desires. And number two, so that you don't become desensitized. You know what? You slipped up. But if you think it's not a big deal, you're going to do it again. And it won't be a big deal the second time. The third time becomes a hada. May Allah protect us. So when something happens that you find alarming for yourself, keep it. Keep it as something alarming. Think of it as like, no, this is a big deal. And don't just say, I'm just going to say astaghfirullah wa atubu. Ask yourself, what's an extra act of worship I can do to wipe out this sin? What's something I don't usually do? For example, if you don't usually pray Qiyam al-Layl and you found yourself slipping up one day in something, you know what? I will pray 8 rak'ahs of Qiyam tonight. I will read more of the Quran tonight. I will fast tomorrow because I committed this sin today. Don't intend to commit the sin and do the act of worship. What I'm saying is, if you fell into the sin, وَأَتْمِعَ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the same hadith, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتِ وَأَتْمِعَ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow up the sin with a good deed to erase it. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. So this is an example of physical discomfort. Jihadu nafs, to force yourself and your nafs not to think that it is in control. And to avoid becoming desensitized as well. So you are punishing the nafs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get closer to Him. And as well, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيَّاتِ. Good deeds erase the sins. What do we do with all of this in mind? You have love. And you have fear, you have hope that we spoke about last week. And today we talked about taqwa. Taqwa is the shield. And to summarize all of it in one place, Ibn Rajab rahimullah, he says, he who worships Allah with fear, love, and hope is a muwahhid, the one who really believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practicing. A true believer in the oneness of Allah and tawheed will not lean towards one or another emotion, imbalanced, of hope, love, or fear, as many deviated groups have done. For this leads to an imbalance not only in emotions, but also in beliefs. Rather, a balance is maintained amongst every emotion so as to motivate the individual to follow the true path with the right intention. So again, we look at the acts of worship. Make sure you are fulfilling all the obligations. Somebody asked me once, you know what? Even that advice that you gave, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, a few years ago, I actually gave this in the Friday khutbah here. And somebody said, how do I do that? Like, just think. You can actually do that by surveying and thinking about all the obligations. Are there any obligations you're missing? Survey and think about all the potential sins. Are you falling into any kabair or saghair? Are you falling into any sins? And then start thinking about the sunan. Are you doing any volunteer acts of worship? Start thinking about as well the makruh acts. Are you staying away from those as well? And then eventually you start to stay away from anything that is doubtful as well. A barrier between you and the makruh and the haram. One of these scholars, Yahya bin Mu'adh rahimahullah, he said, congratulations to those who leave this world before it deserts them, to those who build their graves before they enter them, and to those who please their Lord before they meet Him. So wherever you go in life, be a person of balance. And if you find yourself right now in a phase of life, in a stage in which there's an imbalance, pay attention to your emotions and to your actions, and look for the solution in the opposite emotion. If you have too much hope, go to the acts that will remind you to have a little more fear. If you have so much fear and there's no hope, go back to the ayat about hope and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will notice this will help you as well with advising family members, advising your children, advising others in the wisest, most strategic, prophetic manner possible to be people of balance. At the end of the day, we are in need of taqwa. It is a shield that guarantees the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guarantees paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst al-muttaqeen who practice with balance and moderation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our sins, the past, present, and future, the sins that are public, the sins that are private, the sins we remember, the sins that we forgot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us and assist us in worshiping Him, in remembering Him, in praising Him in the best manner possible. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the affairs of our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine and all around the world and utilize us for their relief and for their justice and grant us consistency as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave this world in a good state and to meet Him in a good state and to be forgiven and standing in safety on the Day of Judgment amongst al-muttaqeen. Allahumma ameen wa salli lahum ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.